A dark place exists only because we haven't brought light to it. That's what we talked about last week. We can bring light to dark places in our lives and to society, like prisons and human trafficking. And we talked last Sunday about the darkness that was present at the time of Jesus. And this is something that Todd and I have talked about. We met a few weeks ago and said, how do we want this Christmas series to go? And Todd is speaking next week on one of the aspects. And we thought, as we listen in prayer and talk to Jesus and saying, Jesus, what do you want our church to go through together as a Christmas? And we thought about how at that time in 1st century BC, it was actually very dark. It's not anything like what we experience now at Christmas. So each of our messages, we're going to bring an aspect of that little bit of time and try to relate it to 2024. So we're going to talk about another aspect of difficulty in life during Roman time in Jesus' birth, at Jesus' birth. So I'm going to go back again to Isaiah chapter 8 at the end, the beginning of chapter 9. And we need to get a picture that Christmas wasn't always like this. Now, where was I going? Here. Look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. They will go from one place to another, weary and hungry, because they are hungry, they will rage and curse against their king and against their God. They will look up to heaven and down at the earth, but wherever they look, there will be trouble, anguish, and dark despair. That's what we're often seeing in our world, and that's what we're seeing in that time. There was a darkness because nobody, very few people around were looking at God, towards God. And they will be thrown into darkness. Nevertheless, Isaiah promises, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future when the Galilee of Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. So, Irva, would you come and light the first candle like you did last week? Here's a question for us. Have we ever lost something? How many of you have lost keys? Almost everyone, that's okay. And some of you are too nervous to share that, right? Just this morning, I couldn't find my keys, and my wife had to find it in the jacket that I didn't think I was wearing. What are things that people lose? Shut it out. What are things that people lose?
Phones.
How does that work? Yeah. How many of you? No, don't admit it. Okay. What other things do people lose?
Patience.
Yes. Okay.
Kids.
Well, wedding rings. Wow. Okay. Wallets. What else?
Kids.
Yes. Oh, that's terrifying. We have a story to tell about that one with our oldest son when he was little. That's scary. Okay? Other things we lose.
Confidence.
Yes. Yes. Anything else?
Perspective.
There's a lot of things we lose. Lost and found. You ever seen Lost and Found? Do you realize that very few people actually go to the lost and found? In school or on the bus or wherever? It's kind of funny. But here's the bottom line. experiencing loss, I'm stretching the loss keys thing, so follow track with me here. Experiencing loss is meant to build our path, not to stop us in our tracks. Okay? Experiencing loss is meant to build our path and not to stop us in our tracks. The opening line, courage is found while walking with Jesus. It's what turns loss upside down. Courage. So who would like to come and light the second candle? All the way in the back, Sam? Okay, come on up. Come on up. So we got light, and now we're going to light the candle of courage. So just grab the whole thing, light that one there. Got it. Perfect. Blow it out. That one. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Thank you. Thank you. Now, what did the Jewish people lose in the first century? What did they lose? They lost their freedom because they were under Roman domination. They lost a lot of their freedom. Yeah, they were allowed to still practice their religion. By the way, did you notice on the news this week? And I think it's something, it's going to come. It's going to come. Quebec now is trying to stop all public prayer. Did you read that? The premier has said publicly, I want to outlaw all prayer in public. That's where Canada is going. That is scary. We have freedom. We have freedom now. But it's going to change. What did the Jewish people lose? What didn't they have? They didn't have their freedom. Now, they could still be, but it was very, and they still had to pay exorbitant tax. Okay, so now what we're going to do, guys, we're all getting distracted here. This is it. Get your drink. Okay? And that's it. Okay, can we do that? Yeah? Okay. Thank you. Because I'm thirsty, too. And I'm hoping one of you is going to give me some, but you won't. Okay, so that'll be it. Okay? Got it? Got it? Good. Thanks, guys. Thank you. I'm not mad at you. Not at all. Just go ahead and share anything with me. All right. So there was hopes and dreams that they couldn't have. They couldn't actually expand beyond their circumstances. They were an oppressed nation. Controlled. They lost all. They also would have lost a lot of loved ones. To the wars, to punishment, to the Romans could do anything they wanted. The Romans ran by their rules. And so they could do what they want. They lost a lot. Now I was thinking about that. I go, okay, so if we're talking about loss, have you ever thought about what Jesus lost? He came from the glories of heaven. To give up, Philippians 2, to give up who he is. What did he end up by losing when he came to earth? Okay, he lost heaven, but while he was on earth, what are some of the losses that he experienced? He lost his father. The tradition says that Joseph died early on in his life. He lost his father. He lost his cousin, John the Baptist. That grieved him. In the Gospel, it talks about how he had to go away for a little while to grieve. He lost a lot of friends, even his brothers and sisters for a while, who didn't believe him, and they rejected him, and they even made fun. And he lost a lot of relationships with people when he started to step out to who he really was. He lost that. He lost respect from a lot of the leaders who at first thought he had lots of wisdom, but they quickly turned on him. A lot of friends, a lot of people that said, I'll follow you to the end, turned their back on him. He eventually lost his life. And then I was thinking about it too. also, what was he before he became, well, he always was. What was it, what did he do before he did his 3 years of ministry? What was his career? He was a carpenter. And he thought he lost and had to give up all his tools. Maybe the tools that were given to him from his father that were passed down generations. Jesus actually experienced not just his life. We always look at his life at the end of his life, but he lost a lot. Now, I'm going to go on a rabbit trail here for a little bit. How many of you like rabbit trails? We have two white bunnies that run across our yard each morning. Once in a while I see them. I was having a conversation with a young man the other day, and he was telling me about a family friend of theirs who choose not to celebrate Christmas. This particular family chooses to avoid all things Christmas. And maybe you know some families like that. That's not necessarily uncommon. They choose to not celebrate anything with Christmas, not even the word Christmas. They just avoid it all because of the commercialism, and a lot of times because of the supposed pagan history around the traditions and the practices of Christmas, like Christmas trees and different things like that. Can we not often, and could these families not just maybe put aside what they want and still celebrate and focus on his birth and his life to us? The great theologian Becky Friesen said to me a while ago, we were talking, and it just stuck with me. It was just a phrase she said. Without the birth of Jesus, we can't have the death of Jesus. That is absolutely true. You see, as I think about this, what would change? What would change if Jesus just all of a sudden showed up, 30 years old, arrived on earth, and said, I'm here. I love you all, and I'm here to teach you for 3 years, and then I'm going to die for you. Would that really matter? Well, sure. That's what superheroes do all the time. But Jesus came to live all of life for us to watch and to learn and to experience. He became, there was a secular song many, many years ago that was incredible. I don't know if you remember, I played it in youth one time. It was called, What If God Was One of Us? I don't know if you remember that song. Powerful. And I'm going, he did! He became one of us. And experience. And that's the whole point of the incarnation. That is the point. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. I'm going to find it here somewhere. Wherever it went. Lost the page. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Verse 15, yeah, 4, verse 15. This high priest is talking about Jesus. Since we have a high priest who entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, he's entered now after his death. But this high priest of ours understands our weakness as he had faced all of the same testings or temptations and life that we do, yet he did not sin. He experienced what it meant to be human. And so if Jesus showed up at 30, we could walk up to him and accuse him and go, sure, you're here, but you don't understand what it means to be me. You don't understand what it means to be us. You don't understand what it means to have loss and grief in your life. But because Jesus became a baby, was actually 9 months in the womb and experienced, not that any of us remember that, but he started right from the beginning of conception. And he lived all of life. And he can stand before us and go, I know humanity. I know what it's like to be human. Yeah, I didn't sin because I can show you how to live the right way, but I know what it's like to be human and all that is in your life. That is incredible, and that's why we celebrate Christmas. Not all the trappings of Christmas, those are just fun things that are good. And how many of you have non-Christian family and friends? They're all celebrating Christmas, right? What a great conversation. So why do you celebrate Christmas? You don't accuse them. Why? You don't even believe in God. Why are you celebrating Christmas? You use it as a great opportunity to witness and to encourage. So let's put it on the table. What have we lost? What have I lost? What have you lost? Most of us, if not all of us, have lost loved ones. My dad's been gone almost 30 years. My mom's been gone 15 years. My grandmother, my step-grandfather. One of my best friends growing up in high school passed away a few years ago. There's a bunch of people, a group of people, that we have lost. We're both friendships. We've lost friendships because of conflicts, because of moving away, because of all kinds of things. We've lost friendships and relationships. How many of us have lost jobs? Lost careers? Or maybe had to give up something? What about possessions? Oh yeah, we can say, it's all possessions, but we get attached to possessions. We do. How many of us, and in our world, in our neighborhoods, in our town, whatever, have lost things to thieves? I remember one of our friends got broken into, and there was a sense of, can't remember the word, but it was just like, it was just awful walking into their, they felt walking into their home going, somebody else was in here and took stuff. It was just an awful feeling. What about to a house fire? I've known a number of people over the years that have lost their possessions, their house, and had to start all over. Even toys and other important things, even as kids, we could probably think, if we think back, and maybe the kids here, and we think back, have we lost things when we were kids? And that's kind of almost worse. Things got stolen, or maybe something got burnt, or we lose things. What about dreams? Dreams that any one of us would have or have had and had to give it up. My parents, their big hobby was raising what's called ornamental pheasants. These are, like, you think peacocks? They had a couple of peacocks. And other ornamental pheasants that were beautiful, beautiful birds. And they would take these to the Pacific National Exhibition and display them, and they would win awards. And they had on one mantle, on one wall, they had all the medals and all the plates, and they even had a few stuffed ornamental pheasants around the house, which we didn't inherit. Okay? But that was their hobby. But a year or two after we moved to Maple Ridge, they had bought 4 acres of property, and part of it was to build bigger cages for these birds. And so they had hired a local guy to build a big, long cage. I don't know, probably had 20 large cages, so they could really run around in their cages. And one long, I don't know how long, I was a kid, so I don't know how to measure it back then. And I woke up one morning in December, and if you live in BC, BC snow is very wet, and therefore heavy. And I woke up one morning, and I looked out, And 3/4 of that whole complex of cages collapsed. Bad building. We looked at it, and I think back later, the guy they hired had no idea what to do. Like, it was just awful. They lost almost all of their birds. Some of them flew away. Some of them were killed with the collapse. A few of them survived. I can't imagine what my parents would have gone through to lose a dream, and they never recovered from that again. You have dreams, things you wanted to do, things you'd love to do, things you have to give up. Sometimes they're good dreams to give up, and other times they hurt. They hurt. Let's talk about loss. See, some things, some losses come and blindside us, and we don't have control over it. But the other side of loss is sometimes it happens because of our own mistakes. Yeah, it's my mistake. That's why I lost that. Or we contribute to our own demise. Yeah, these are a series of decisions. And life that I was living, that's why I lost this. And then we make decisions that we regret. Boy, if I could make that decision over again, I would make it differently. And maybe sometimes we still beat ourselves up from past regrets, past decisions, and past mistakes. Can I encourage us to forgive ourselves? Can I encourage us to look back and go, there are a few, call them dumb decisions, call them wise decisions that went wrong, but whatever it is, if we're still beating up ourselves because of some of those decisions, can we just say, you know what, Tim, I forgive you. Tim, I forgive you. I know what happened. I know how I felt. It just feels awful. Maybe you need to write it down and say, God, I forgive me, and I ask you again to forgive me. I don't know what I was doing, but I need to let it go and even cut that chain or cut that rope or whatever that is that holds us to the past. And then we try to step forward, and that stupid chain or rope pulls us back. Go, remember? And the accuser, Satan comes along and says, remember how bad you were? Remember that decision? It's time to cut that rope. It's time to chop off that chain and walk forward. Again, coming to the courage. We have the light. Now we need the courage to go through. Isaiah chapter 9. I love that about Jesus. And again, I didn't mark out all my verses here like you usually do. Isaiah chapter 9. This is a verse we always use at Christmas. And it's so true. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child is born to us. A child. Not a human at 30. But a child is born to us. A son is given. God's son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. That's to come yet. But he will be called Wonderful, in some translations, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. No matter what we have lost in our life, He is wonderful. He's a great counselor that will help us through things. Mighty God. You can look over all that's gone in our life and say, I've got this. I'm mighty an everlasting Father who's right next to us, putting his arm around us saying, I've got you, I've got your life. And a Prince of Peace, would you just let me give you peace in all that's gone on in your life? That, my friends, is the message of Christmas. In amongst all the fun of it, is the message of Christmas. Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. Jesus knows what it's like to be human. And verse 4, yet it was our weaknesses that he carries. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. That's what Jesus does. That's how he can do it all his life. He carries our weaknesses and our sorrows with him. And at the cross, he didn't just take our sins. He took our weaknesses and he took our sorrows and he took all our losses and all the feelings that come with that. And he took it with him to heaven. Interesting, I'm sure I've mentioned this, and you may have read it too. It's interesting that when Jesus went to heaven, he still had nail-scarred hands and feet. He still had those. He took those to heaven. Why? He didn't need it, but it shows us that he remembers what it's like to be human. That's the Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas. Loss comes to everyone. It's designed to build our path and not stop us in our tracks. So what are we going to do about this? And we'll get it posted on Facebook and on Instagram. I will remember to send it. What you might want to do, maybe if you're writing down some things, write down three things, relationship or things that you've lost. And then write down your feelings about that loss. What did it do to you? How did you feel? Grieve that loss. And then give thanks for the gifts that you had. And then give thanks for the things you have now. And Christina did a great job of talking about that gratefulness. That all of us can still walk through gratefulness. And then to step out with courage beyond the loss. Why does this matter? Loss hurts. Loss stops us. But God is calling us forward with light and with courage. Let's stand, Todd and Amy, if you want to come up. Christmas season for your honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.